Let's all open our Bibles to Luke 11, as we look at verse 3, as we continue going through our series on the Gospel of Luke, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we've slowed down as we get to the Lord's Prayer. We're spending one lesson each on each of the lines here. And this morning we look at verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Have you noticed that in the Lord's Prayer, this is not an individual prayer? It doesn't say, my Father, give me, but rather, our Father, give us this day, forgive us our sins. We can pray it individually. But this is a reminder of two things. Number one, we are praying together with other Christians. And secondly, we're to pray for others. For example, on this one, we can pray, Lord, give me, give my family daily bread, but give others the daily bread that they need as well. Well, let's open up this wonderful verse and may God feed our souls with this portion of His holy word. It begins, give us this day. Now, that's an imperative. It's a command. But notice that it's directed to God. God, give me this. And you might think, isn't that a little inappropriate or presumptuous to tell God what to do? No. It's a request, not a demand. In Philippians 4, it says, let your request be made known to God. So we never give orders to God. So this is just another way of saying we're submitting a request to God. It's like in an earlier line, thy will be done. So we're saying, Lord, give me this bread if it be thy will. And we need to submit this to the Lord in a very appropriate, humble way, recognizing He is Lord. We don't demand. But He's giving us such a wonderful privilege of giving Him our requests. Here's a word that we ought to use in our prayers. Judges 13:8, someone prayed and said, oh Lord, please. Do you ever use the word please when you pray? Now, parents should teach their children those three golden words. Please, thank you, and you're welcome. My mama taught me that when I was a child. When we go to God in prayer, we should say, Lord, if you are pleased, if it is your will, please give me what I'm asking for. But don't forget to say thank you as well. That's very important. Let me show you a good verse on this. Hold your hand in Luke 11 and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Have you noticed in the Gospels how often we find Jesus thanking God for food? When he was about to feed the 5,000, he took the loaves and fishes, lifted them up, and thanked God. Frequently he did this to give us the example. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Talking about certain people that forbid to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So God has given us food to enjoy, and we should thank God for the food that He has given to us. For example, some of you know that traditional old prayer, and I used to hear it whenever my father would pray at the dinner table. He'd use the old prayer, for what we're about to receive, O Lord, we give you. May the Lord make us truly thankful. Sometimes people repeat a prayer like that so often it loses meaning, but the essence is good. Thank God for the food that you receive, whether your wife cooks it or whether it's simply a Big Mac you picked up on the way to work sometime. Parents should teach their children by example how to thank God for food. But parents, teach your children by, let them pray. They may not be believers yet, but this is helping them to acknowledge that God gives food, and we should teach them to thank God. Now, I have sat in on family devotions, and right before they have the meal, the father will say, now, Joey, it's your turn to pray. Joey, you give thanks to God for the food. And that's a good example. Parents, teach your children to thank God for the food and everything else. Now, by going to God and asking Him to give what we need, we're acknowledging by faith God is able to do this. We're not asking God to do the impossible. Everything comes from God. He is in control. So when we say, Lord, give us the food that we need, we're believing that God is able to do this. Only God could do this. Now, when Jesus regularly gave thanks to God, it's very possible that he used a traditional Jewish prayer that is still being used today. I bet your Jewish friends know it. Certainly the rabbis know it, and you'll see it in movies on TV. It goes like this. We thank you, O Lord, King of the universe, for bringing forth bread from the earth to feed us. That's a good prayer. Maybe Jesus spoke it. It acknowledges that God is our Father, but also he is the one that brings forth bread from the ground through the plants, the wheat, in order to feed us. Now, there's something else. When we say, Lord, give, that implies that God gives. He doesn't sell it to us. It's a gift of his grace. We don't earn it. We never earn anything from God. God owes us nothing. So we come like beggars, as it were, saying, Lord, give me bread. And the Lord will give it to us. We are to ask for gifts, not rewards for things that we have earned. Lord, give me this bread. And when you search the scriptures, you find that God is a father to his children. And like a loving father, he will provide food. He is able to. What's more, he has promised to, and he'll never let his children starve. Here are some verses. Proverbs 10:3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now, over in Matthew's Gospel of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, why are you worried about food and clothing and things like that? And I'm sure Jesus smiled and says, your Father knows that you need these things. And he said, look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. God clothes those flowers in beautiful clothing, better than what Solomon had in all of his wealth. He said, look at the birds. They don't have to labor, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And then Jesus said, you are worth more to God than many birds. God will feed you like he feeds the birds. So, dear brethren, God will meet your physical needs, and he does it in a variety of ways. He promises to feed his children. But then that raises a sort of a theological question. If God promises to feed us, then why should we pray, give us this day our daily bread? What's more, why should we even go to work to buy food? That's the main reason we go to work is to, but you know, someone said, I work to eat and I eat to work. But if God promises to give us, why should we pray for it or go to work? It's because here we see divine sovereignty and human responsibility. God gives us a promise, but he gives us a command as well. And so we pray, Lord, give me the means to receive what you have promised to give. Thomas Watson, that great English Puritan 400 years ago, put it like this. He says, God puts the fruit on the tree, but then he tells us to go and shake the tree so the fruit comes out, and we shake it by prayer. That's a good example. And it's also like other things. God, for example, in the Bible, it says that he has chosen who's going to be saved, but he commands people to believe. In the same way, he says, I will feed you, but you avail yourself of the means to receive what I have promised. Martin Luther put it like this. He says, God has promised to feed his children, but he doesn't drop a goose in their mouth every day. Only Luther could put it like that. Now, there are exceptions, of course. You remember God fed Elijah by sending a raven that would drop food. I read that in my devotions this morning. And then there was Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't have to work for the food. God just says, help yourself. It's right there on the tree. Ah, but after they sinned, they were put out of the garden. It's no longer just free food. He says, now you have to work at it. But God supplies it, and he supplies the means whereby we can receive it. So, brethren, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, pray that God would give you the means to receive what God has promised to give. And that's the word, work for it. But even though we work for it, keep in mind, when God gives it, it is not a reward for our work. Work and faith are, as it were, the means to receive what God promises to freely give us. Now, in the Bible, it says that God gives us this food to enjoy. Aren't you glad that food has a wide variety of tastes? And some you cook, some you can eat cold or raw, and then you have your favorite foods, and then maybe there's some foods that don't agree with you, but think of all the delicious food. God has put taste into the food as it were to remind you God is a good God and God is a generous God. And not only that, it has different colors and a different wide variety of food, so we can enjoy it. But then God also says, enjoy it, but don't enjoy it too much. He warns about gluttony, so let's eat wisely. Now, when we ask the Lord to give, we should thank God. But unbelievers usually do not. They forget to thank God. The Bible says that ingratitude is a gross sin. Brethren, we need to thank God at every meal, and that can be a testimony to unbelievers. Why does God then feed even unbelievers that don't thank Him? They don't even ask Him. Why does God feed even atheists that raise a fist against God? I'll tell you why. God gives these things in nature. We call it common grace. He gives food, clothing, happiness, music, health, all this, as it were, of gifts to tell people God is a good gift, and as it were, God is luring them or wooing them to Himself by reminding them God wants to give them not just physical blessings, but spiritual blessings such as salvation. Listen to this in Acts 14 when Paul was speaking to some pagans. He said, God did not leave Himself without witness. And that He did good. He gave us rain from heaven in fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And then Paul went on to say, God has given you all of this. You should be thankful. Brethren, we can use that as an example when we share the gospel with people. When people grumble and say, if there's a God, why is there so much pain and disease and war in the world? We should say, hold on. Blame that on man and the devil, but be thankful. Look at all the good God has given to you. And say, God has given you happiness and health and food. God has fed you every day of your life. Now we find an example of this in the Old Testament in the book of Hosea. You remember the story. Hosea and his wife Gomer. And this was like a picture of God in Israel. Well, they had three little children. But after a while, the wife became very immoral. She cheated on him, and she ran around all over town and left Hosea and the little children weeping, where's Mama? But yet, Hosea still loved his unfaithful wife. And there's an interesting verse there. It says that while she was out there cheating and running around, Hosea still provided food for her. And it's like when she was out there doing all these things late at night, he'd go over there and leave food on the doorstep of where she was staying. And she didn't know that it came from Hosea. She wondered, maybe it came from my lovers or maybe from Meals on Wheels or something like that. And it says, she didn't know that I provided the bread and the corn and the wine. Why? Because he still loved her. And this was, as it were, an offering to say, I love you and I want you back. This is what God does. He gives food to the unbeliever and sunshine and rain and all these things, as it were, to say, come to me. I am, as it were, putting all this in front of your path to woo you to me, and I've got even greater blessings in store. Jesus said, give us day by day our daily bread. Notice He used the word bread. A few years ago, I read an article about one of the most common foods in the world. Bread was top of the list. Now, sometimes it's sliced bread. Think of all the ways that you eat bread. Whenever you have a hot dog or a hamburger. Or children, whenever you eat pizza. Do you know most of pizza is simply bread? Whenever you have cookie and cake, that is basically made out of bread. Donuts. Various things like crackers, sandwiches, biscuits. All that is basically forms of bread. And so that's the most common food in the world. Go over to Russia, you have hard black bread. In Mexico, you'll have banana bread. Number two would be rice. Especially over in Asia, there are parts of Asia where that's all they eat at their meals. And then after that, you get potatoes. And did you know that you could live off of just bread or just rice or just potatoes. Some of you have seen the famous painting by Rembrandt called The Potato Eaters. And there's this poor family gathered around a table with a couple of candles burning, and they're just eating potatoes. You can live off of these. These are called the staple foods. And then after that, further down the line, you get things like corn, beef, chicken, fish, but bread is by far the most common food in the world. So when Jesus said, give us this bread, this day our daily bread, he just doesn't mean bread made out of wheat. It could be out of barley or even cornbread. But by extension, this includes all foods that God has provided for us. So we're saying, Lord, give us the food that I need. We need food. If we don't eat, we don't live. We need food, and we say, Lord, give me the food that I need and other basic needs. I need clothing. I need a place to stay. I need health. But he chose the word bread because it's a staple necessity. We should give attention to praying for the necessities of life, not the luxuries. He doesn't say, Lord, give us this day our daily steak. No, he says, give us our daily bread. Leave it to the Lord to decide which luxuries to give you in addition to the basics of life. And here's another lesson. When we say, Lord, give us these things, shop in a very thrifty, wise manner and don't waste food. When I was a child, if I didn't clean off my plate, my mama would say, son, you know that there's starving people in the world that would love to have that leftover piece of potato or that piece of fish. My father was a little bit more strict, and he'd say, you're not leaving this table until you've eaten every bite off of that plate, young man. Yes, sir. But as your pastor, I would say, don't waste food. God has given us food, but let's use it wisely. Next, as we pray for ourselves, pray for others, support charities that feed the poor. There are good charities, Christian charities, different parts of the world where there's not much food. In India, China, places like that, parts of Africa. Pray for them and support them. Lastly, here's another practical lesson. Be content with this. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, having food and clothing, let us be content. Now back to the text here. Jesus used a very interesting word when it says, give us day by day our daily bread. Excuse me. Day by day, that's a very unusual word, and it's only used twice in the New Testament. There may be one example outside that. And so the translators and commentators wonder, what does he mean? Give us this day our daily bread. It basically means day by day. D.A. Carson said the word probably means that when you pray in the morning, you're praying for the food the rest of the day. And when you pray at night, you're praying for the food for the next day. So it's a day-by-day thing. It's like day laborers will be hired for one day's work, maybe doing lawn work or work out in the farmer's field, and he gets paid day by day for one day work. So God says, pray for daily bread. Now, when Jesus did this, the people that heard it would immediately think of one thing in their Jewish history. And that's what was read about in John chapter 6 a little while ago. The story of the manna. Now that's recorded in John 6 and goes back to Exodus 16. Let's explain it, because that sheds light on this prayer. God had delivered the Israelites from Egypt. They're out there in the desert. Not much food, not much to drink. So they start saying, Lord, give us water. God gave them water. And then they're saying, we're starving. There's no food out here. Maybe they're resorting to just eating the grasshoppers. They said, we're all going to starve here. Let's go back to Egypt. There's plenty of food back there. And God says, don't go back there. I will feed you out here in the wilderness. And so the next morning when they woke up, they looked all around the camp and they saw some white stuff everywhere. It almost looked like snow, but it doesn't snow in the wilderness. And so in Hebrew they said, manhu, which means what is? What's that? And so they named it manhu, manna. And the word means something that God gives us, and God gave it to them miraculously. And God says, go out there with these bushels and go pick up one day's supply of food. And I will give you the manna 6 days a week, but don't collect it on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath you rest, but the day before the Sabbath collect 2 bushels Otherwise, if you collect too much the rest of the week, it's all going to rot. I will give it to you day by day. Remember what Jesus said? Pray, Lord, give us day by day our food. By the way, the story is not over. In Numbers 11, they got tired of that manna after a few years, and they said, we're tired of eating the same thing every day. Parents, you ever hear that from your children? I'm tired of the same thing every day. So they complained. They said, we don't want this manhu manna. We want meat. We want fish, or we want birds or something like that. So God said, I'll give you that, but you'll be sorry. And the lesson there is, let's pray, but let's be content with what God gives us. Now, God gives some things to us, as it were, in a lump sum, like salvation. When you're saved, He gives you lump sum salvation. You are saved in a moment, but then there's something else He gives you day by day, sanctification. Now, it's like that with other needs. There are some things that God gives us in a lump sum and other ones on a daily basis. It's like the story of a wealthy man. I heard the story of a wealthy man that provided his will for his son that was about 18 years old. But the son hadn't learned the value of a dollar. Are you parents teaching your children the value of a dollar and how to earn it and how to save it? Anyway, this son was beginning to learn, but the father wasn't too sure. So he put it in the will that if he died, the son would get all of this, but the executor would have to give it to him one piece at a time every day. And that way he would teach the son thrift, industry, to thank his father that it was no longer there to provide for him. And he'd teach him these things. Now you see the illustration. God gives us the necessities of life, brethren, but he doesn't do it all at once. We are to pray, Lord, give me the necessities every day. That teaches us to depend upon the Lord and to be grateful to Him every day. Now, Christ could have multiplied food for us every day miraculously like He did to the 5,000. But He doesn't. But that was a reminder that God can answer this prayer in unexpected ways. Now, here's one more lesson before we take it in a different direction. We're to pray for food and other necessities of life. But let's see that not only does it come from God, it's God that is the one that nourishes our bodies. You say, but it's the food. No, it's not the food. It's God doing it through the food. God can sometimes nourish us without food. Right, Chris? Sometimes people have gone on long fasts like the Lord Jesus. God continued to nourish them without food. So we pray, Lord, give me food. May you, who is the source of life, feed my body through this food. We need to see that food is simply the means. And brethren, in heaven, as we said last week, we can eat, but not to stay alive. We will have immortal bodies. And the Bible says they shall neither hunger nor thirst in the next life. Remember, when we eat and when we ask God and when we thank God, it is God that is the source of all life. Now let's look at this prayer in a little bit different way. He says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now that's on the physical, earthly level. But do you see that this has application to another level, the spiritual level? For example, when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil tempted him, you remember how the devil did it? Jesus was hungry. And the devil brings some little stones to him and says, oh, you're the Son of God? Prove it. Take these stones and turn it into bread. But the Father told Jesus, don't eat. And so he didn't fall to the devil's temptation. But what did he say to the devil? He said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. Would you be able to finish that verse, by the way? You hear that phrase on television. People have songs, yeah, man doesn't live by bread alone. They usually mean, yeah, but you need love or music or something else. No, no, no. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread feeds our body. The word of God feeds our souls. So here's the first spiritual application of this. We need spiritual food for our souls. What is it? It's not physical food. It's something that is spiritual that comes to us in a physical form, the Bible. The Bible sometimes is compared to meat, to honey, to water, and also to bread. This is the Word of God for our souls. It feeds us. Brethren, it is nutrition for our souls. This is the means God uses not only to save us, but to keep us alive and to keep feeding us. So, brethren, let's get into the Word and eat it every day, day by day. Now, here's the parallel. This is God's food. And then look over here and say maybe there's a physical plate of food over here. When we eat physical food, we put it in our mouths, not in our ears or our nose. When we read the Bible, it comes into our soul through our eyes. But don't just leave it there. We also chew food in our mouth. When we read the Bible, we are to chew it over in our mind. Study it. Find out what it means. Understand it. And then as we also chew the food, we swallow it. We digest it. In the same way, brethren, when we study the Bible, digest it. You swallow it by believing in it. And then just like when you digest food properly, it helps put on muscles to the body. It gives you nutrition. When you go through this process spiritually, you put it into practice and it'll grow muscles in your soul. Now, Jesus said, our daily bread. As you know, we give out a little booklet from time to time here called Our Daily Bread. It's a daily devotional with one verse and a little prayer and a little story in there. And some of us read that every day. But that's only one verse. I hope you read more than one verse a day, brethren. Someone said those little devotionals ought to be called Our Daily Crumb because it's just one verse. Let me encourage you, read more than one verse a day. If you read just one verse a day, have you any idea how long it would take you to read through the whole Bible? You couldn't do it in a lifetime. Now, sometimes you slow down, like our preaching this morning, and you concentrate on one verse. I would suggest you read at least one whole chapter a day. If you did a little bit more than three chapters a day, you could do the whole Bible in a year. So, brethren, dig in. It's good for you. And what's more, it tastes good. Now, just like we should pray before we eat our meals and thank God for our physical food, brethren, let me encourage you, pray before you read the Bible, pray as you read it, and then pray afterwards. You say, well, what do I pray for? Here's how it works. When we pray, we're talking to God. When we read the Bible, He's speaking to us, so we have a conversation. You come across a verse that you say, I don't understand this. Lord, teach me what it means. Help me to understand it. This is a hard promise. Lord, help me to believe this promise. Lord, you've given me a commandment. Lord, help me to obey this commandment. You see how it works. So you have the conversation, and in this process, you're drawing near to the Lord, and He's feeding your soul. Job 23:12, Job said, I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Brethren, do you ever find yourself spiritually weak or anemic? You know, we go through valleys and we get spiritually weak and we say, I'm out on the mountaintop. I'm feeling very weak. I'm finding it hard to pray. That could be a sign of spiritual anemia. You know what anemia is, when you're not getting enough nutrition. You turn pale, you lose too much weight, and you get weak and fatigued, and you go to the doctor, and first thing he's going to say is, are you eating right? And what are you eating? Are you eating just junk food, or are you eating good, nutritious food? He may send you to a dietitian. Well, it's my job as your pastor to be your spiritual doctor and dietitian. Eat regularly. Lay off the spiritual junk food and get into the Word of God. What's spiritual junk food? Religious cotton candy. You go to the Christian bookstores and you'll find these cheap books that have no more nutrition than a handful of cotton candy. Read the meaty books that are based upon the Word of God, but get into the Bible every day. And fathers, it's your duty to get your family into the Word of God. Lead them in prayer and Bible study every day. So if you're feeling weak, brethren, get back into the Bible. Okay, that's the first spiritual application of this verse, but it doesn't end there. The Word of God itself is like food, but remember I said earlier, if God doesn't bless food to our bodies, we won't be nourished. It's God that does the feeding. Believe it or not, it's like that with the Bible. The Bible is a dead letter unless God Himself feeds us through the Word the real spiritual food, the bread of life. What's that? Some of you know what it is. Write down. The bread of life isn't just the Bible. It's the living bread of life named Jesus Christ. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, it comes to us through the written Word of God. You see, Jesus is no longer on earth. He's up in heaven. But in this wonderful spiritual way, He is with us in spirit, but also through the Word. So He says, come to Me and I will continue to feed you by the Word of God. You could say the Word, the written Word, comes from God's mouth, but Christ comes from God's heart. And just like food feeds our body, the Lord Jesus Christ is food for our souls. He is the living bread that gives us spiritual life. Now, how do we receive this? First, we receive Jesus as the bread of life when we first believing in Him and are saved. When we come to Him and say, Lord, I am lost, I am dead, I need life. Lord, feed me. He feeds us spiritual life and we then have life. We're born again. John 1:12 talks about this. When we believe in Him, it says, to those that received Him, that is those that believed in His name, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Now here's the question. Unbelievers in their sins are spiritually dead. They need spiritual life. But when a person is hungry, he usually wants food. He'll say, give me food. Have you ever had someone, you know, hold up a sign at a crossway and says, we'll work for food? Or someone says, mister, can you spare 50 cents for some food? I haven't eaten in 3 days. Usually when a person is hungry, he wants to be fed. Why then is it that unbelievers are not hungry for the Word of God and for Christ? I'll tell you why. They don't see that that's where the true nourishment is. They have no taste for holy things. They don't have any hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're filling themselves up with other things, with sin, and you provide Jesus Christ and say, I don't want that. You ever experience that when you share the gospel with someone? You say, you know, Jesus has everything I could ever want. He's sweet and He gives me life and love. And they say, who cares about all that? Try sharing this verse with them. It says in the Old Testament, taste and see that the Lord is good. Then there's another verse in Isaiah where God says, why do you waste your money on things that do not satisfy? Share that with them and say, you're hungering and thirsting. You're trying to fill up the emptiness in your soul with things that do not satisfy you. Sin, liquor, sex will never fulfill the desire of a soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that. He is the bread that comes down from heaven. So urge them and dangle it before them, as it were, and say, taste and see if the Lord is good. I have received Jesus, and I'll never go back to that other. He is true food and bread and honey and everything that I could ever want. He satisfies. If you're an unbeliever, we ask you to come to the feast. Forsake your sins, the sins that does not truly fill up your soul, but it's kind of like drinking salt water. It only makes you more thirsty, more hungry. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and freely receive the food that He gives. He is the bread of life. Come and feed on Him and receive this eternal life. But then secondly, what about believers? We've already received Christ. What do? We keep receiving Jesus. He keeps nourishing our souls. Just like we eat a meal and then later that day we're hungry again. We receive Jesus. We are to continue to feed upon Him. He continues to feed us. Like I said earlier, He gives us salvation in a lump sum, but then He gives us salvation, a sanctification on an ongoing basis. He continues to nourish us. So when we feel spiritually hungry, say, Lord, continue to feed me with your very own life. Now, I've explained, why is it that unbelievers do not want to come and feed upon Christ, the living bread? Why is it that Christians don't always feed upon the Lord Jesus. Not just why don't we read our Bibles more, but why is it that we grow cold and distant from the Lord Jesus and we don't feel He's near and we feel spiritually weak and we say, something may be missing. It's because you're not feeding on Him as the bread of life. And I'll give you a clue. It's because, like the unbeliever is trying to fill up the hunger of his soul with other things, Christians do that as well. Two things. Number one, sin. When we get our fill of sin and we backslide, that has a way of stultifying our spiritual hunger for Christ. Therefore, see that that does not help. You'll never fill up your soul, dear brethren, by sin. It's the devil's lie. Keep coming back to the Lord Jesus every day and say, Lord, as you feed my body, feed my soul. But then there's something else. It's not that just that we, as it were, nibble on sin, but other things. The Bible calls them the cares of this life. These are things that are not wrong, but they have a way of diverting us from the true bread of life. Hobbies, sports, music, entertainment, things like this that are not wrong in themselves, but we tend to gravitate toward those and we forget about spiritual nourishment. So brethren, examine your life. Get back in the Word and daily come to the Lord Jesus and say, give me this day, Lord, the bread of life for my soul. I'm hungry and I need you. Now there's another way of doing this. Communion. Now, when we have communion, brethren, this bread does not miraculously change like some churches teach. We are not nourished very much by just this little piece of dried cracker. This is a symbolic reference of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that feeds our soul when we come to communion and we listen to the Word of God and we pray. We remember what He did for us. And then we say, Lord, forgive my sins. Feed my soul. That's why communion is very important for the Christian. That's why we do it week by week in this church. So in a few moments, brethren, we'll eat and drink. But don't just concentrate on the physical food here. Draw near to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, feed my soul. Refresh my soul with the bread of life. Next week, we'll continue our study on the Lord's Prayer. May it be our prayer, Lord, give me today my daily bread and thank you for Christ, the bread of life. Let us pray. Father, you fed the Jews day by day in the wilderness for 40 years. Give us our necessary food and other necessities every day. Help us to be thankful. And Father, feed our souls through your word and through the Lord Jesus. And we pray for those that have never yet received Jesus, that you would put a hunger in their souls and that they would never be satisfied until they are filled with Jesus. We pray in his holy name. Amen.